Let me start by saying that my presentation will be on this contrast between illusions and disappointments, and my proposal is to focus at the end on the house he built in South America, in Argentina, the Curuchet House. But in order to explain or to understand the house, I think we need to know something more, mainly his relations with Argentina, which started probably when he was a child in La Chaux de Fonds, but probably more intensively were developed during his stay when he arrived in Paris and established a lot of friendships with many Argentinians that in that moment were very rich, or at least those people that were living in Paris in the 20s. So the first point, or the, his first relation, was through this word curiosity. At the end of the 20s, a woman from Argentina sent to him a letter asking him for a project for a house. And probably because he knew people from Argentina, and he knew that they were very rich and he wanted to get some jobs everywhere, as we know, he decided to respond to her. It's important to know that she was Victoria Ocampo. She was a very rich person, and she herself built in 1927 this house we see there with the help of one builder of storehouses, and not without any architects. I have to say she was a writer, and so she had nothing to do with architecture. Anyway, she was able to do these kind of things in 1927. So she sent this picture to Le Corbusier, and she sent also this drawing saying how she wanted to have the project. She was Victoria Ocampo. She was a very rich, but at the same time, a very cultivated person. She had an apartment in Paris. She was in relation, for instance, with she invited Ansermet, the musician, to Buenos Aires to develop a school of modern music in 1922. She played with Stravinsky, some of Stravinsky's plays, so she was really a big intellectual figure, even if she was very young in that moment. And there we see her participation in a group of avant-garde in Buenos Aires, in Argentina. We see in that picture, probably in the time when Le Corbusier visited Buenos Aires, Jorge Luis Borges with her. They were very close friends in that moment. So she was a particularly important person in Argentina, and also with a big intellectual figure. But Le Corbusier, with his curiosity, sent to her this project. And for me, it's important to understand how, in reality, he did not consider that a very important and serious job. So he took, in my opinion, this was the procedure. He took the project he already had done for Madame Meillet, and he changed a little bit the project, but not in a very accurate way. For instance, if you see this is the first floor, and this is the first floor for Madame Ocampo, and he needed to add one room here, and he added this room without any kind of other changes on the plan, and so on and so on. There are many of these kind of things. The way the kitchen was solved and proposed for Madame Meillet, and the way the kitchen was reproduced in a very rough way for Madame Ocampo. But in fact, Madame Ocampo rejected the project, and she asked to help, in this case, an important architect in Buenos Aires, Alejandro Bustillo, and actually built this house in 1928 for herself with the help of Alejandro Bustillo. In 1929, she was the main figure in the invitation of Le Corbusier to go to Buenos Aires. She was not alone. There were other institutions. And I have to say that at the same time when she invited Le Corbusier to go to Buenos Aires, she invited also another important person that is not very well known nowadays, but in that moment was extremely important. It was he was a writer, a North American writer, Waldo Frank, because he wanted to create a magazine, a cultural magazine, and European, North American, and South American. And the European figure was, because the magazine was realized, José Ortega y Gasset, the so important intellectual figure in Spain. So those were the three figures he was thinking. Le Corbusier, herself, Victoria Ocampo, Ortega y Gasset, and Waldo Frank. This is important because Waldo Frank visited Buenos Aires at the same time that Le Corbusier visited Buenos Aires. And she gave to Waldo Frank the real importance. And in those days, she created the magazine. So the relationship with Le Corbusier was not very, she didn't give him the real importance he supposed to have to represent in South America. Anyway, being there, as you all know probably, he delivered 10 lectures. The lectures were reproduced more or less in the book, Precision, we will see in a moment. But what is important here is that without any kind of client, without any kind of proposal, official or private proposal, he decided to propose a plan for the city of Buenos Aires, or at least he gave an idea to the city. In reality, this is very important because this was his ideology in that moment. He presented himself as the representative of an alternative to the North, a Mediterranean Latin alternative to the North. He offered to the South American the possibility of a sort of alliance in order to fight the important influence of the North. The North meaning the United States and Germany and the North, the European North. As you know, it was in those years where the ideas or the ideologies of Mediterranité were developed. So this is why he said this will be the future of Buenos Aires. Now this is the center. This is the important center in America. He interrogated himself. He said, "Destiné d'une ville neuve," but it was a proposal, and I think in order to flatter the porteños, the people from there, offering them this. Brilliant future for the city. But in order to get this future, they have to change the city. So he proposed this plan. Basically, as you probably know, there were a concentration of skyscrapers on the river, and the other idea was to resserrer la ville, to concentrate the city and to block the expansion of the city in the territory. This is the famous drawing he made in that moment, and they're so representative in a way, showing the importance of the vertical and horizontal lines that were so central in his ideas. But at the same time, we have to say and we have to know that there were these ideas of building this skyscraper on the shore of the river. And this idea of building, this is the center of Buenos Aires, the Plaza de Mayo, which is the center of the city, and here is the river. So this one was an idea of building a skyscraper in the shore in front of the river as a sort of door of the city and of the country for the ships coming to the city. And this was a plan or a drawing or a proposal that was done in 1925, and was done by this other French person, who was Jean-Claude Nicolas Forestier, who was invited in Buenos Aires in those years to develop a plan. So Le Corbusier could not confront the official intentions of people from Buenos Aires frontally. So he decided to propose an idea. The result of all of this was the book, as I was saying, Precision, who he published after the trip. And the book is very interesting. We could enter more in detail, but we don't have the time, because it's not just dedicated to talk about, to show the lectures and to talk about Buenos Aires. It's more complex. He talks about Moscow, he talked about what he did afterwards after leaving Buenos Aires in Brazil. So it's more complex in many senses. But anyway, this was the first moment. But then, and it was the first moment of illusions, but then came the frustrations, because when he came back, he left in Buenos Aires a lot of quote-unquote friends, with the idea that doing something with them, getting something from them, some jobs from them, perhaps not the plan of the country, but perhaps some building. She led a lot of projects. He made, as you know, the project for Rasuris in Santiago. He proposed to build in Mar del Plata, in a city of the south of Buenos Aires, the Musée Croissance Illimité. He was asked to make a project for Lover of Madame Ocampo. He proposed he had a conversation with her to build what he called a rascacielito, the small skyscraper, and he did other proposals. And along the 30s, 31, 32, until the end of the 30s, he wrote to these supposedly friends, hoping to get something, some job, but nothing happens. So I think this what happened between 1929 and 1937, as we will see, 38, were a period of relative frustration of his first illusions, or the illusion he had when he went for the first and unique time to Buenos Aires. But then in 1937, 1938, he started to have new illusions. Why? Because a group of students, normally students in Buenos Aires, organized travel to Europe to know us everywhere, to visit buildings, students of architecture. And this was a group of students of architecture that traveled, well, graduated in 1937, and came to Europe. And these two people are very important for us. He is Jorge Ferrari Ardoy, and he is Juan Curchan, because they went to Le Corbusier, to Rue de Sèvres, and proposed him to continue to do something, in reality, to do something. They, as many students and many architects from all over the world, wanted to work with Le Corbusier. We are in 1937, 38, Le Corbusier had many difficulties. He was in a very difficult moment. But he received the two young people and say to them, okay, you are here. I will, as it usually happened, I will not pay you at all, nothing. But if you want, you can work and help me in the development of the sketches he did in 1929. And they were enthusiastic. One of them had some money, the other one not so much. But anyway, they arranged themselves and they installed in Paris. And in fact, we see there both working on the plan. And in fact, they developed the sketch. At the end of 1938, 1939, Le Corbusier got finally this plan for the city. The ideas were more or less the same. As you can see here, the green zone is the zone of concentration of the city. The rest were supposed to be to cultivation, small farms, urban farms. And this is the center for skyscraper, the harbor. I will not describe in every detail. But what is important to see is that this overlapping, if you want, this sort of palimpsest he used in order to represent the city. We see the old city. This is an aerial photography with the I could say the excavation of the new city into the old city. And this is also very important because this was the grid, the Cartesian grid that will be developed, changing the shape of the blocks for the city, for the development of the city. And this is the way they imagined how step by step this will happen in on time. I mean, and this is also very important for us because, as you can see here, he did not believe, or he was not proposing, to destroy the existing city, a sort of generalized tabula rasa, but to include in the city, to transform the city with many different kind of interventions. And this is, for instance, what he planned to do with what was the most, was especially in that moment, the street or the avenue where theaters and movie theaters and all these kind of uses, museums, etc., were concentrated in the city, and he wanted to maintain this, and this is why a big auditorium was proposed at the end in relation with the river. But the most interesting drawing is this one, because this one is the opposite from the one we know in 1929. We see here the skyscraper, but the skyscraper are seen from inside the city. So what is saying this drawing is that the city existed and will continue to exist, and the operation will happen on time, adding elements like the skyscraper or the others, or this building, for instance, here in the zone of the parliament of the city. In fact, Le Corbusier was very satisfied with this plan, and showed the plan to the authorities in that moment, to the ambassador, or to many authorities. And we have to know that in that moment, where the government in Argentina was the whole 30s was a conservative, very conservative government that came in a way as a result of a coup d'etat. The start in 1930, breaking in a way the development of the democratic process that was started in 1918. But these were the authorities, and as you know, he didn't have any problem to deal with any kind of authorities. They could be the Communist Party or the fascist government or the conservatives or whatever. And this was his attitude in that moment in Buenos Aires. With regard to the authorities. But these young people, Ferrari Ardoy, Kurchan, organized in that moment, 1938, coming back to Buenos Aires, a group that will be very important because it was in that moment was one of the few SIAM group that still existed, the Austral group. And the third protagonist of this group was Antonio Bonet. The three together, Kurchan, Bonet, and Ferrari, designed this famous chair, the BKF chair, in that moment for a building they did in Buenos Aires. We are talking about 1938. In 1943, two of them, Ferrari and Kurchan, built this building, which is extremely important in my opinion, which is an apartment building. But as you can see, this is the plot, this is the site, and they decided to locate the building in this part of the terrain, adding here services. And the building was built, we will see some pictures, and this part of the building was not built and was a part that will continue in this position here, creating a sort of L, like you can see here. And that's very important because, in my opinion, they were trying to create a piece of architecture that could be part of experimenting a possible answer or response to the problem of how to concretely develop this gradual creation of the new city. In fact, it's a beautiful building, and the other characteristic it has was the fact that it was organized around an existing tree, an eucalyptus tree. In reality, there were three beautiful trees. We will see why this is important. The other thing what was it was all these considerations were for him so important that he wrote a book never published, that this it was a book on the plan. The book received a very strong attention by him, even in details. The shape of the book was very important, like many of his books in that moment, in this proportion. And as you can see here, all the details of the book were observed and controlled by Le Corbusier, even changing the dates, everything. And this was these are some of the pages of this mock-up of the book. As you can see, with almost ready to be published with this shape, I insist. So he had he had at least the hope, again, an illusion of going further with this plan, because he was convincing that the authorities were convinced about the fact that the plan could be done, could be realized. This is what was the reason why he invited Jorge Ferrari to Bridgewater to the Congress in 1947, and why he presented the plan in the 47 Congress in Bridgewater, SIAM Congress in Bridgewater. But then came frustration number two. And we know that because you were seeing the slide. Something changed in Argentina in the middle of the 40s. In 1946, as a result of a democratic election, General Perón took the power with a very strong nationalist ideology. And this is one thing. You can see the gaucho with the flag, Argentinian flag, etc. And at the same time, on this image of what was the planking canal. So we have nationalism plus plan, the idea of the plan. In that moment, with the new authorities, Ferrari was invited to participate to integrate the government in the city in order to develop the plan. He had already published, without the authorization of Le Corbusier, the plan in this magazine. You see that there was a Spanish version of L'Architecture d'aujourd'hui called L'Architectura de Hoy, which was very important in those years. And so he published this magazine absolutely not only without authorization, but with a shape that Le Corbusier didn't want at all, and he was really angry with that. I don't have time to go deeply why he was so angry. But anyway, he was angry with that. But at the same time, what happened was that Ferrari and Kurchan and other people were invited to develop the plan to the government from the government of the city. But they rejected, and they say they wanted Le Corbusier to be part of the plan. And they did all they could, but the government of the city rejected the presence of Le Corbusier. Of course, with this kind of climate, they didn't want to have a French architect or a French urbanist saying what has to be done in Buenos Aires. They wanted just to be Argentinian and so on. So they rejected the presence of Le Corbusier. So then here came the second frustration for him, because it ended really bad, in a bad way. He said, he wrote them to a letter saying directly, "Vous êtes des misérables," because they let him out of the enterprise. So, but at the same time, and this is very important for us, at the same time in 1948, he received another letter for another house, to build another house in Argentina. And this is the house, we call the Curchet House. And I'll give you some images before going to my argument, in order to for then those of you that don't know how the house looks. Is this one? This is the access, the entrance with the ramp. The ramp is extremely important. We will see in detail in other pictures. This is the interior of the courtyard and the ramp, and you start to see something that is important. That is, okay, that is the presence of the tree in the middle of the house. Those are some other images of the interiors of the house, the relation with the exterior, etc., etc. I have just more 5 minutes, and I will try to do my best. Le Corbusier in 1948 was not the same person that in 1929. He was a very recognized, worldly recognized person. He was doing all these things. He was doing Chandigarh. So the question is, why he accepted to make a project for this small house? 150 square meters is nothing. It's really very small. Why did he accept to make a project in the Pampas, in a city, as we will see, which is not Buenos Aires, in that moment? My idea is that the house, in a way, was formed to an instrument to demonstrate to the Argentinians that he didn't came to destroy the city. He was trying still to be part of the plan of Buenos Aires. So this is really important. See, he was saying, no, I am not coming to destroy the city. I'm coming to try to make a sort of a relationship, articulation between the new and the old. The client is Corruchet, which is a very particular person. I don't have time to go deeper in him, but what is important for us is that this is the province of Buenos Aires, this is the province of Buenos Aires, this is Buenos Aires, the city of Buenos Aires, this is La Plata, the city where the house was built. This is Las Flores, the small, very small village in the Pampas, really where Cruchet was born. And this is Lobería, which is the very small city, another small city in the Pampas, where Cruchet was living in that moment. So you see, it's very strange because he was not Nehru, of course. He was not a big, he was not the secretary of the United Nations. He was not a big capitalist person, nothing of them. He was a surgeon, important, but not enough to explain the acceptance. So this is why I think the house is a sort of manifesto of his ideas on the plan. This is La Plata. I will not detail this. La Plata is the capital of the province of Buenos Aires. It's a city, it's a new city from the end of the 19th century. This is the plan, but for us, it's very important to know that the house is located there in blue. So it's in, actually it's located in the door, in the entrance of the city, and in a position intermediate between nature, this is a park, and the existing city. Some approaches to the house, to the site. This is the block, and now we see the block, the site, and this is the terrain. So this is extremely important. And okay. just a couple of words. This drawing is important because he asked the client to know what were the existing neighbors in terms of architecture. One was a block, was a modernistic house. The other one was a traditional one. So my position is that the house articulated these two things. Just to end, the house really is composed by a block. This is the block for the family, and this is the block for Dr. Cruchet. And this image is extremely, extremely important. You see here the continuity of the existing architecture, how he took this into consideration, and how he took in consideration the existing house on the other side in order to continue here. And all the problem of the house, and I can close here, is, if you want to understand in another moment the house, is how to manage this breaking of two or this articulation between two directions, two pieces of architecture. This is the those are the plans, but I don't have more time to explain. This is just to perhaps. Okay, thank you very much. The next time.